low quality fans of a high quality Bruins franchise, because there's no real team to be specific about right now, right? There's still a lot of stuff in flux. I am joined today by the illustrious court, also known as Bruins diehards. I really appreciate you coming on. We're going to have a fun little exercise here. But first of all, how are you doing, Court?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. It's been a long week, but it's Friday. We made it.
Yes, you know? We did make it. I'm excited. It was my first week back after vacation, but, you know,
oh, that's right.
It makes it tougher when that happens.
Yeah, there's such thing as needing a vacation from your vacation, you know? You
need 1,000%.
From that. So today what we have on the docket is we are going to do a NHL panic draft. You and I are going to go back and forth selecting teams that we think are most likely to do some panic moves this offseason, maybe talk about what they might look like. Before we get into that, I haven't had the chance to watch your Dylan Larkin video yet. And I don't want to step on it. I think everyone should go check it out. I'll link that below, of course. But I wonder if you could tell me, do you believe that there's any chance that Larkin is someday a Boston Bruin?
I think the Bruins have the assets to do the deal. I think if you're the Detroit Red Wings, you are not rebuilding. As much as people, I've seen a lot of trade speculation and everybody's like, oh, teams will have this prospect. So like the Minnesota Wild can do this, this, and this because they have these prospects. And I'm like, they have Mort Seider. They have Lucas. They're not throwing in the towel. So if you're the Detroit Red Wings, I'm sorry, Minnesota Wild fans, but he could want to go there all he wants, but you're giving up Joel Harrison Ek plus a pick to make the deal happen. Or if you're the Detroit Red Wings, you're like, no, like I get it. Dylan Larkin said, I want gone. I don't like Steve Yzerman. I'm a whiny baby. That's what's happened. They didn't like each other. He got mad because he didn't get Quinn Hughes. That's the rumor. He got poo-poo pants about not getting Quinn Hughes, which is fine. And they didn't make the playoffs. He's played, what, 5 playoff games in his whole career. And he's a very good hockey player. So I get it. And it seems to be the new norm where players like Quinn Hughes, Austin Matthews pretty much saying, like, if you don't do what I like this year, I'm gone out of Toronto. It seems to be the new norm. Mm-hmm. Conveniently, it seems to be the new norm with certain types of players, but we won't get into that. But it's true. Hey, facts are facts.
Yes.
So Dylan Larkin does hold all the cards, but the Detroit Red Wings are still going to want a best package available back. So my guess is what they'll happen is Detroit Red Wings will – everybody in the world knows he's available now. So Don Sweeney, every single GM that is looking for a center, so 31 teams called today.
There you go.
And they all said, what are you asking for? And then they went back and forth, and then they said, here's our first offer. So now Sweeney's given his offer. My guess is either centerize. He's going to first offer Pavel Zacha. That's just my guess. Unless, and this is another wrinkle in the whole thing, Zacha has the Detroit Red Wings on his 18 no trade list. Everybody keeps saying he has a no move. He has an 18 no trade. So what happened if the Red Wings were on that list? If they're not, it would be Zacha, one of those firsts, either this year or next year, or one of the two from next year, and a prominent prospect, I would assume. That's the package. You look at what Bo Horvat got back. You look at what Quinn Hughes brought back. There is a package for the Red Wings, and it meets their needs. It would meet their, hey, we're getting a guy that can go into our top six now in Pavel Zacha that is comparable in age, let's be honest. Not in skill set, but comparable in age. You're getting a first-round pick, which is always something that every team is going to want. And then my guess would be, a Mason Lowry or a Matthew Potter, a higher level of a prospect. But for Bruins fans, if you want to get scared, if I'm Steve Yzerman, I will, cool, but I want Fraser Minton, Mason Lowry, and a first.
Yeah, that's – I would do a lot to get Larkin on this team, but I can't send out Minton. I can't do it. And I know this is fanboy part for me. Like, it's not even that Minton has that much value. I just can't let go of him. He's my emotional support guy. Like, I need him. Dean and Higgins, that doesn't really make sense for me. Those are the guys that I'm really hesitant to move off of for a 30-year-old center who's not great defensively, but very, very good otherwise. I like what you mentioned about the Minnesota Wild there, because you're probably not just getting strong down the middle from this. You have to give up a lot to get.
And yep.
There's some teams out there that I think could make the deal, but Larkin would have to say, I want to be a Boston Bruin.
100%. They've got one, be on the list, and two, what I think is going to happen is he's not going to ask Larkin for his list. He's just going to go out, find the best four or five deals, and say, which one of these teams are you willing to go to? Not tell him what the offer is, just which of these teams are willing to go to. And I would also assume that the Bruins' first offer is not going to be their best offer, and then they're going to go back and say, you know what? And this is what I wouldn't be surprised the package would turn out to be: Zacha, Zellers, and a first.
Yep, which sounds, I would do.
100%. It's going to piss you off, and even piss myself off. I'd do Minton and a first and nothing else, and I'd do the deal without even blinking. And then I would re-sign Zacha to like the Coyle contract, and I would move on, and I would just pray that it works. I love Fraser Minton. He is truly my favorite player, but Dylan Larkin's a better player now. He'll be a better player later. It is what it is. It's just like we talked about this with the Higgins thing that one time. If you wanted James Higgins to be Robert Thomas and St. Louis said it's a one for one, then you do the deal. I don't care that Higgins is 19 years old. You just do the deal.
Yep.
That's what you do. If the trade makes you better, you make the trade.
Yep.
The Bruins, as much as we don't want it to be, the facts of the matter are you've got Charlie McAvoy in his prime. You've got Pasternak in his prime. And you have Swayman that is coming into his prime. Larkin looks good there. Yep. So it is what it is. But the odds of it happening are slim because Larkin would have to consider the Bruins a cup contender. But it could end up being that, you know, it's the Rangers. Who the heck wants to go to that, you know, gone show? It could be teams where the Bruins actually look like the better option. He's friends with McAvoy. It could happen.
It could.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Don't say it's not going to happen, but it could happen.
Yeah. We'll take a 20% chance in this one. Sure. You didn't technically put a number on it, but
no, I said slim. I said slim in my video. I said slim. So that's about 20.
Yeah, I'll take that. We might end up talking about Detroit in just a little bit, depending on our drafts here. But you're the guest, so I want to give you the first overall pick in this. So again,
wow,
teams that this offseason, basically until the start of next year, are going to panic. And they're going to do something that makes you go, I'm sorry, what? Who do you got? The most panic-filled
number
team.
One overall, the Edmonton Oilers.
All right. This is the one spot I think that we totally agree.
Yeah. I think with everything we are already hearing with regards to coaching that I cannot comment on, that is just a cluster right there. But then you also hear the Darnell Nurse stuff. And knowing that Nurse is, you know, lives up the street in the offseason from me, which is also up the offseason, up the street from Connor McDavid. Like they're all buddies. Hearing that that's already a rumor and they want to move on from him and they're already regretting the Tristan Jarry thing. There's just way too much surrounding a franchise that got knocked out in the first round, expected to go to the finals, and it knows that they only have a 2-year window to win the Stanley Cup or Connor McDavid's leaving. So there's a lot of panic around that franchise. I think that's just an easy... That's what's happening. You're the only two guys that are not safe that are safe are Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, and the rest can be traded.
Yeah, I'm very much with you on that too, because they don't have a first round pick this year or next year, right? Or there's a condition on that next one, but they don't have it. You have genuinely, I think, if you put Connor McDavid over the past 10 years on 25 other franchises, those franchises all have a cup in that 10-year span. I think Connor McDavid is truly in a franchise that has done everything it can to avoid winning a cup with a modern day potential Gretzky, right? Like this guy is in that conversation.
Not potential. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. And also, right. Yes, there is a condition. It's top 12 protected.
There you go. There you Chicago. Go. So yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where you sit there and go, you guys have done such a terrible job telling this player that you're going the right path to win a cup, despite the two cup finals. If I'm McDavid, I'm still sitting there going, do I trust you guys? And I don't think it's a small chance that he pulls a Matthews and says, you know what? I'm not coming back. I'm out. I'm done. I don't care about these 2 years. I'll force my way out and he'll be able to do it.
I wouldn't be shocked if the two of them, because they're, you know, bum chums sometimes, they go to the same team.
That'd be terrifying.
Because in 2 years from now, the cap's going to be like $130 million.
Well, they're going to look good in black and gold.
He cares about the money, but he doesn't. He doesn't go max.
No. No, and I think he showed that with this recent contract, right?
And he's the opposite. Remember when I was saying those type of players that, you know, like, wah, 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 I want to go somewhere else? He's the opposite. He's straight up saying, I want to stay. I want to win here. But I don't think he leaves until the end of his deal. And that's when he'll make a choice and go wherever he wants.
Even Oilers fans, if he came out tomorrow and just was like, I'm out. I can't do this. You guys suck. Even Oilers fans would sit there. Did I hear what?
Did you hear already where he'd say he'd go?
No.
Yeah, it's already been like, which I'm actually surprised with, and I would love to figure out a way to confirm this, was the Montreal Canadiens.
See, that makes sense to me, though.
Me too.
Yeah, and I hate it.
I 1,000% agree with you.
I just think Oilers fans would sit there and go, he's justified. I hate to admit it, but he's justified. Mm-hmm. This does go into my pick, though, because in second place, I have Toronto.
I love you for it, because they were number one under the Edmonton Oilers for me. They were right there. It was Oilers, Leafs. It only made sense.
Yep. And the Leafs I don't think there has to be a huge – they don't have the depth. Nope. Matthews is maybe coming back. And there's this nice trade that we've just found out about that almost happened but didn't happen. I don't know exactly where they're failing. It was 1 minute late. Okay, that seems fishy. Usually there's a queue. This you can get it done an hour later.
No, so I've asked about this.
Yeah.
So yes, as long as you get it in mm-hmm. by 3 p.m., the queue starts then. And that can take a while to get through because what happens is each trade has to go through cap compliance. Mm-hmm. So it'll go through and they'll make sure. And that can take up to like, you know, some can be real quick if it's like money in, money out. But if there's picks and all that crazy stuff that gets involved, it can drag it out. And that's when you get the queue. But yes, supposedly it was at 301 and Michael Hague wasn't a part of it, but it was like all prospects.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I think actually Toronto dodges a bullet there just with the way the rest of the year worked out. And so they're thankful to it. But that locker room's a mess. And the depth's not there. And you're asking for, I mean, actually a Bruins-like season next year where you have a ton of guys that rebound from a bad season or have career highs across the board and suddenly are super competitive. A lot of work to do in Toronto. First overall, though. So there you go.
I just don't think Toronto has the goaltending or the defense. Like Boston turning around had Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy on the back there. Toronto Maple Leafs have Morgan Rielly and Stolarz. That's not a thing. That's like a expansion franchise. Like that's unfortunate. Like Matthews is one of the best goal scorers in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. but he is a piece, not the piece, unfortunately. And Nylander looks like a guy who doesn't want to be there anymore.
That's the scariest thing to me, too, is Nylander's been quiet on all fronts kind of here, but he's the straw that stirs the drink right now for Toronto. And that guy's still underrated. I don't understand how many people just don't care how good
Nylander is. He's best friends with a certain David Pastrnak. We can take him over in Boston. Nobody.
I wouldn't avoid a deal like that. Who do you have for your third overall, your second pick?
The Colorado Avalanche.
I don't even have them in the top 10. What? Yes.
And here's my reason why. They originally weren't. I added them probably about an hour ago when I kept looking over my lists. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is this. They went into they just lost their GM. So now they have Sakic back. So that creates a little bit of chaos, no matter what, in the front office. They have put the full confidence behind Jared Bednar when he lost. I would say half the hockey world thought he was going to get fired at Bruce Cassidy would possibly be getting up for that spot as well. And they have an assistant captain who sometimes is the captain when the other guy is injured that is a little quirky, gets a little angry, and dare I say, tired of losing. So I look at Brock Nelson not showing up. Nazem Kadri, yeah, he showed up. I'm sorry, he was one of their better players in the playoffs. But Brock Nelson did not show up. Some of these big guys that they brought in did not show up. Yes, Cal Makar got injured. That sucks. Yes, you know, Nathan MacKinnon got injured. But if you're Nathan MacKinnon and you look at, you already got pissy pants and moved out Charlie Coyle for not producing, do you go to management and say, oh, Brock Nelson ain't cutting it? Like, we got to cut bait and move on. Let's bring in some more guys that like we can work in our top six with me and Natchez and Nick, the rest of the guys that they got there and Landeskog and so on and so forth. But we need some more bottom six depth and Nelson stinks.
I wonder about this team because it would be very easy for them to go, well, injuries, right? I think it's fairly easy. Now, from a player's perspective, I get where it's a little more emotional than that. But for a GM, front office, injuries, what are you going to do? Well, we talk about McDavid, if he were to just go like, I'm out, and it feels very justified.
Nate McKinnon, the same.
McKinnon just pulling a LeBron and running the team as a player, that's not justified, I don't think. I would say there's two very different situations. Colorado has built a really strong team. They have center depth. I know Nelson wasn't great in the playoffs this year.
That's an understatement. He was absolutely abysmal.
I'm curious, was there any injury news for him?
We don't know, so that's the thing. Here's how crazy this team is. They haven't had their end-of-the-season presser.
Oh, that's right. They haven't even come out with anything yet.
No.
Hmm.
That's why I put them on my list. I went and looked up a bunch of information. I was like, there is nothing to look up. There is a lot more going. So they haven't had their exit interview. So you know that Nathan McKinnon, who is arguably a top five player in the league, and Cal Makar, who's arguably a top five player in the league. So they have two of the top five players in the world on their team.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys were hurt. And you took out one of them, and that they were a shell of themselves in the playoffs with no Makar. So if you're Nathan McKinnon, you're saying this can't happen. We got all this center depth and it didn't matter. I love Naz. He's my boy. Yeah. He listens to me. But this guy, they all got to go. Bring in new guys.
If he's getting involved to that level, that's I don't know a scary if he is. Situation.
I'm just saying we know what he did with Charlie Coyle and he was gone. So he is obviously involved.
Yeah.
Right.
I love so much of their support across the board. And again, Vegas just absolutely plowed through them. But there's so much of the team that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that they would, and it has to be a hockey trade at this point, right? Because their prospects are non-existent.
Yeah, no, they're gone.
They have two picks in the first three rounds over the next 3 years.
But they could move a guy like, so I look at their team. Nikushkin didn't show up in the playoffs. Brock Nelson making 7.5 for the next 2 years didn't show up in the playoffs, but he's got a no trade clause. He still can be moved.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like it's when the no move clause gets kicked in, and that's like the guy can't go anywhere. No trade clause, you can still trade those guys.
Yeah,
Brock Nelson is 34 years old and he's got 2 years left, and he was invisible.
Mm.
He was invisible. I'm not saying you're getting a lot back for him, but. I don't know, man. He was invisible.
I think you still get a lot back for him. I think you do.
A center is a center. We learned that Brett Burns and Cale Makar being injured, their defense was just terrible. Yeah, Jack Eichon got to play in the playoffs. So I think they have too much depth up front and they need some help on the back end. I think they're going to make a move because of that. And I think they're going to try and make a big move.
Yeah. Does it change your mind at all watching how Vegas is performing against the Carolina team that typically is an incredible defensive structure and Vegas is continuing to find ways to get past them?
Not at all. I think Vegas, the underlying numbers, they were phenomenal and they shouldn't have fired their coach because their goaltending sucked all year. Like Aiden Hill sucked and their coach lost their job because of it. So I don't think anything. Vegas has looked good all year. They just had no goalie. That's all. They were injured and they had no goalie. I think Carolina showed that they're in it. They're in it. I love their fight last night. But Carolina doesn't have a very good goalie in Anderson. So that's what's getting exposed in the playoffs. That's the only thing. Jeremy Swayman's in net for the Carolina Hurricanes. And it's 2-0 Carolina.
I'd agree with that.
Like, that's all I'm saying. I think Carolina is a very good team. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are a very good team. But for personal reasons, I think they suck.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I feel like I got a gift here at number four. I'm going to go with Winnipeg.
It's an easy one, but there's more.
It's an easy one. Yeah, it is. It's an easy one. It's a roster that not only can you look from the outside and say this roster is just not good enough to win a cup. Like, it's just a fact. Mm-hmm. The roster is not good enough unless Hellebuck does something unprecedented, right?
Like, you just ask for a trade because I feel like he's that guy.
Well, I think he should. Again, you want to talk about justified.
He plays on that team that won the Olympics that seems that everybody is like, I want to play where I want to play.
Yeah. It's the whole Olympic squad.
Look at that squad. It's like someone made the joke when they were talking about it on TNT. No, it was on Chicklets. They were like, maybe they were just all sitting in the dressing room and were like, you know what we should do? We should all demand a trade.
Everyone just hates
it. Let's just do it. So you got Brady, like at the end of next year, he's like, I want out. You got Quinn Hughes. He comes back. He's like, I'm done.
Yep. I got to say, the worst thing that's happening in Winnipeg is not only from the outside can you see that they're not good enough, the players know it. the players deeply know that this is not good enough. I mean, yep. They're not even close. And yeah, President's Trophy to missing the playoffs or whatever it was there. They did win the President's 2 years ago, if yep. I remember correctly. You're sitting in a situation where, yeah, well, we have a decently high ceiling. Yeah, that ceiling is not Stanley Cup. Yep. It's just not.
No, it's
and
not.
And so now you have these guys like Scheifele and Connor and Hellebuck who are you able to – Morrissey. It feels like they have enough pieces, again, similar to the Bruins. You have these pieces that are franchise pillars, but can you truly do enough to bring stuff in? They don't have a great prospect pool. They're staring down a total rebuild. Especially and that's scary.
Yeah, sorry, my apologies.
Well, for a financial team like Winnipeg – that's not getting the support they need. That's scary. Entering a rebuild could end the franchise.
Yes. Well, not end the franchise. And the Winnipeg Jets. They could put them in a different location. And I sure. think Connor, Kyle Connor, getting $12 million a year is crazy to me. Just crazy to me.
He's so good. I do love Kyle
I get Connor. It. I get it. But he is, again, he's just a goal scorer.
It's pretty hard to score goals. I'm just throwing that out.
I know. My thing with him is like anytime it's the best versus the best, he barely plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, I always look at that type of thing and go, there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
It's like my thing with James Higgins right now. I'm like, there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
He's not playing when it's best versus best. But I agree with you. The Winnipeg Jets are, it's like they're two lines and they got nothing else. So I'm looking at their depth and I'm like, oof.
Yeah, you go over to their puck beat and you start to go, oh, no.
Yeah, they're really bad, dude. I think that's a very good pick by you. I had them on my list, but not that very high. And yeah. I'm looking at them now, and I think that's a good play. When you got Colin Miller and Cole Koepke, some old Bruins.
You said Colin Miller, and someone went, he's still in the league? Guarantee someone went.
Good, yeah. Remember when people were mad when the Bruins left him exposed, and it was like a big deal, and people were like, well, I can't believe they did this.
How dare.
How dare they let him go? But yeah, and I think Hellebuck, because Elliot Friedman today alluded to, he feels there's going to be more players now that Dale Larkin has come out. And he mentioned that are on that Team USA team that are going to come out and say, I want to go. And there was rumors already about Hellebuck, right?
Yeah.
And the rumors are he wants to go to Detroit. So that's more even hilarious. So
whoops. I think Matthews opened a can of worms here. We knew the player empowerment was hitting an all-time high, but Matthews saying, I just don't know if I'll be back next year, just blatantly. Just it's weird that it feels like it was a slow burn into everyone like, wait, he's actually that really was said? That is a real report. No one, it just felt like no one believed it initially. And then Chris Johnson jumps on it and you go, that guy knows his stuff. I'm gonna believe him.
And then people started doubting it. And then I loved when, like, people had to look at it more and be like, wait a second. It wouldn't have been the Leafs that said this.
Yep.
It would have been Matthews' agent who was like, yeah. It's the same Matthews' agent that the Leafs didn't even know when Matthews was arrested. Still the funniest thing ever in the history of Toronto media is the Toronto Maple Leafs holding a press conference and finding out from the press that Austin Matthews was arrested.
It's not a great look.
No, neither was getting arrested, but yeah.
Hey, we've all been there. We'll move on. What's your fifth overall pick here?
The New York Rangers.
I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, and because I think it is the most confusing franchise for the fact that so many players are always like, whenever someone's available and they want to go somewhere, even with Larkin stuff that came out, people were like, the Rangers, and I'm like, they're a failure. They're the American version of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So why do so many people want to go there to play in the bright lights for a terrible owner that at a flip of a hat decides to destroy his locker room last year by trading guys with no trade clauses and forcing them out to go where they don't want to go, where they end up all having better careers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as soon as you do that, you blow up the locker room, and what do? You make the king of chaos your captain. What a gong show that franchise is. Everybody's like, oh, Adam Fox, like Rangers fans. We have Adam Fox. Cool story. You have nothing else. Like, you have a goalie that is good, and there's nothing in front of him besides Adam Fox. Like, yep. The Rangers suck.
They're terrible.
They're really bad.
So the first four picks of this draft so far is Edmonton, desperate to bring in. Colorado, desperate to bring in. Toronto, desperate to bring in. Winnipeg, they probably have to bring stuff in, right? They don't want to wave that white flag and reset. The Rangers, that's the polar opposite. You're saying like they need to reset. The Rangers will survive. They'll figure it out. And they'll get free agents to come in. But
which is crazy to me. It's still crazy to me that they do get people that are like, you know what I want to do? I want to go play for that ownership.
New York City's fun, though.
I get that. Cocaine is a good drug. But still, like, right now, your biggest trade chip is a 32-year-old Vinny Trocheck that's going to get you, like, maybe you get you a first round and maybe a prospect.
So is their panic move going to be a reset button, or is it going to be we're going to try to find a way to salvage next season?
I think the best part about what they're going to try and do is they're going to try and salvage it, and they're going to trade Alex Lafreniere, and it's going to be the dumbest thing they've done. I think they're not going to trade JT Miller, and they're going to try and figure out a way to retool, when I actually think the New York Rangers, with everything they did the year before, are in a rebuild and they don't know it. And they're going to be in the slowest rebuild ever. And the New York Rangers fans are going to have to watch it. They only have four guys that have no move clauses. And one of them is Gavrikov on defense, which is, oh, and Adam Fox, but his no move goes away next year. So it's just, oh my God.
Like, yep.
How is Gavrikov making seven? Jesus Murphy.
Do you remember how badly Bruins fans wanted Gavrikov?
Yeah, I don't.
It was never, yeah. Never
Bruins my fans vibe. Want a lot of things.
God knows I want a lot of things. I can't, I'm part of
it. Yeah,
part
Bruins of fans pack. Last year would have been happy with Trocheck. And we shouldn't lump them all in. Some Bruins fans. Trocheck is not someone the Boston Bruins should be looking at right now. A bottom six forward on a good team at 32 years old.
Plus, he has a disgusting play style. He's a diving little bitch, and I just can't do it. I can't.
I'm agreeing with you there. But I look at Lafreniere, and he's only 24. He's a two-way forward. He's only making $7.4 million. They're going to move him, and I see a team like the Montreal Canadiens stealing him and laughing.
The Canadiens have like the pick of the litter right now. There's so many assets. They have the guy. Like, they'll be fine. And it'll be interesting when a week from now Adam Fox requests a trade out of New York.
And that's 100%. And can we rename this list panic/chaos? Because the New York Rangers are not just panic. They're just every year they're just a gong show.
I'm gonna make that adjustment right now.
Even when the Rangers are like, they go far in the playoffs. It's like when Henrik Lundqvist left, they lost all sense of sensibility and just threw it all out the door. Like, I look at this, they're like, we don't want Chris Kreider. He goes to Anaheim and he plays great. We don't want Jacob Trouba. He's now going to be a number one free agent defenseman when he shouldn't be, but he played decent enough in Anaheim.
Yep.
It's like these guys weren't as bad as the team said they were. And I still, like, the JT Miller thing, they stole him from Vancouver. I'll give it to them. Like, that makes no sense. Vancouver got nothing back for him, but maybe they just wanted him gone because he's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they're a hockey player, but an asshole.
New York has the same problem across all their teams for both. Sorry. And obviously Knicks in the finals, right? They finally did it.
It can happen. Them. Anything but can happen.
Every single team is, we're New York. We'll figure it out. And you look at the last 20 years and you go, you guys haven't figured shit out. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen you guys win anything. Oh, we love it though.
Yes. I think the New York Rangers are the New York Rangers, Dallas Cowboys, and Toronto Maple Leafs, they're all the same. They're just something that every fan base is like, our team's good. And then when their team sucks, they're like, oh, well, we'll be good next year. And it's always next year.
Yep. Yep. I'm gonna go here. So this is sixth overall.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few good options here. This might be kind of off the board.
This is such a mean list. I realize
it is mean. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Florida.
Interesting. I didn't even have them in my 12.
See, the window is now for Florida, right?
I know, but go on.
Who's in net for them next year?
This is going to, I can't believe I'm going to say this. With the team that they have, I don't think it matters.
I think it does. I can't believe you're saying it. I can't believe it.
Look how well Barkov played in the World Championship. Barkov makes a huge difference. Barkov's on that team. I almost think. And this is going to sound crazy. Bobrovsky comes back no matter what.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think Bobrovsky will get the bag from one of these other desperate teams.
I don't think he will. That's the thing.
Mm. So that's where we probably 37
years old.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets the bag anywhere else. After what we heard about AJ Greer's going, which is also hilarious. People are acting like he's something. He's not. But I think that they can get enough. Like, Korpisalo could play net for the Panthers, and he'd be fine.
See, for me, the only thing that can disrupt this Panthers team is a bad goalie in net.
Fair.
To truly disrupt them when healthy. And
but where's the panic move?
The panic move is you're going to do whatever you can to get Hellebuck. You're going to do whatever you can to maybe get one of the Woods out of Colorado, which might not even just solve the problem. Because I agree with you where Florida can be, hey, we could get a decent goaltender, right? We could get a guy who's just a little above average, and that should be enough. But they have to, is my point. And I think Bobrovsky is going to get a bigger deal than you'd expect.
From who, though?
Buffalo would make sense to me. Now, they are already caps constraints, but they're going to have some weird stuff to do this offseason as well. I could see Colorado saying, hey, actually, we do want to upgrade there. We don't trust Wedgewood. There's one other team I'm really missing here.
He's 37, though, dude.
I get it.
He is closer to the age of, like, the average person in Florida than, you know...
Let me ask you. This will make sense. Toronto?
No, because I would have already heard it already.
Yeah, right. But,
which would be hilarious. Toronto lets Stolarz go for some reason. They don't want him, and he like becomes like the greatest player in Florida Panther history. I just think this is just because it's the Florida Panthers. Whatever goalie they get will be good, and we're all going to be like, I hate them.
Yeah, I mean. There's a roadmap that I can see there.
I get it. They're a disaster. They're a gong show. You know, they're led by Kachuk, who's a nut bar, but they're going to have Barkov back, so they'll be fine.
I think, and the Barkov element can't be understated here, obviously, especially because I can't believe he looked that good. I can't believe he looked that good coming back. When does these large personalities disrupt the flow of this team? Is Barkov the thing that soaks all of that up and keeps everyone moving forward, and they're going to be fine? Because it just feels like this is the perfect locker room to eventually just implode, because they have such big personalities in that room, and they just came off a really bad year. If they don't start the year right next year, I'm curious to see how the players react. Also, I have very little faith in like Seth Jones continuing to look as good as he has there, and a couple of pieces like that. So...
I don't know. I guess I can go back to Barkov like knocking on players' doors at 3 a.m. to get them home when they were drunk and say, yeah, he can help them out. He's daddy. They needed their daddy back, and he's one of the best two-way players since Patrice Bergeron. Probably the best. In the last 20 years, we've had Pavel Datsyuk, Kopitar, Bergeron, and Barkov, and no one is close to them.
I agree.
No one is close to them.
Suzuki winning the Selke this year. Great. Awesome. Cool. He's not the same.
Yep.
As those guys are.
Those guys are a different category. Yeah. They're the Kopitar, Bergeron, Barkov, Datsyuk are a different category.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Who do you have next?
The Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
See, this I'm really interested to see your point.
And here's the reason why. So for those who are listening, or I guess no, they're watching. This is not a listening thing. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks have a cap problem, and they need to solve it. It's not sort of. So right now they have projected cap space of $38 million. And I would say that out loud, and you'd be like, you know what? That's a lot of money. And I'd be like, you know what? It is. But guess what? Here are the restricted free agents of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Leo Carlson, Cutter Gauthier, Owen Zellweger, Pavel Mintikoff, just to say the least. Mm-hmm. That's not to say like your Jeffrey Vails, who are a UFA that everybody said, oh, the Boston Bruins shouldn't be. The guy won't even be back next year in Anaheim. That'll be more funny. They're about to have no money. And that's to start with on their back end. They only have three defensemen signed.
Yep.
80% of that $38 million that I talked about is going to go to Gauthier and Carlson alone.
It's a roadmap.
So I get your roadmap, but your roadmap has to happen. Other teams have to go to Anaheim and go, you know what? We're going to help you out. We're going to help you out of your situation. We're going to take Mason McTavish off your hands, and we're going to give you a player of the same skill level but older at half the price, because that's what needs to happen. They need to find teams to take their guys like Mason McTavish, because that's the guy they're going to move, because we all know this already. They're moving Mason McTavish, but they still need a player to come back and play. They can't just let him go for nothing. So you're going to move him to whatever team, you know, the Boston Bruins for Zacha, if he doesn't get moved for Larkin. That's a trade that makes sense. You're helping out Anaheim. But Anaheim needs to start making those deals. Like, Mikael Granlund's another guy that Anaheim might have to move, because Leo Carlson is going to be like $10 to $12 million a year. And Gauthier is going to be that $8 to $10 million a year. These guys are going to get paid.
Yeah.
And it's not – they're going to get paid with no move clauses, even though – how about this one? Not one player on that team has a no move clause.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to change. But only that. Okay, so you have these two guys that are up this year. Guess who's up real soon after that? Beckett Senecky. Like, they're in trouble.
It's like a good problem to have, to be fair.
And they have no one on their back end.
And that's the thing, is you have John Carlson, Radko Gudas, Jacob Trouba, all UFAs.
But you have Zellweger and Mentikov as RFAs. And Mentikov is... you have to choose which one you want to pay and which one you want to trade.
And your defense is awful this year.
Correct. So
awful.
So now do you understand why they're on the list?
I get it. I see your logic. And to your point, you can't follow up a playoff appearance like the one they just had in a division that, shoot, we're naming a few teams from this division, I would bet, throughout it. And you're going to have like the automatic worst team in the league in your division. And that division is not competitive. If you are even somewhat competitive, you should be making the playoffs in the Pacific. So there is a lot of pressure, to your point. I don't have a great argument against it, honestly. I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, it's the, hey, we have Mason Lowry. Give us Mason McTavish. We'll help you because you need help on your back end. He can play both the left or the right. Yeah. It can be another Ian Moore for you. It's okay.
Don't look at his defensive metrics.
Yeah, no. Or skating metrics. Well, you're in the West. It doesn't matter. They don't need defensive metrics.
That's right.
It's just, I look at the Anaheim Mighty Ducks and I say they're in a lot of trouble. Yes, they have Cutter Gauthier and Leo Carlson to build their team around. But man, they got some contract issues.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to say that the team with what looks like basically the largest cap space going into this offseason is actually in cap trouble.
But think what?
You're right. Leo Carlson might get $16 million.
Dude, he is so good, right?
He's so good. And how fun is it for Anaheim and San Jose to both have these super high-powered young guys? Like, obviously, 100%. Leo Carlson isn't Celebrini, but those two teams going at it for the next 10 years, sign me up. I'm really excited for that.
If you're Anaheim, your captain right now is a UFA. He's 36 years old. He'll probably come back for nothing. So Gudas will come back from maybe a two-year deal or something. He'll ride out in the sunset in Anaheim with that ugliest jersey in the league. But like, your defense is problems.
Yep.
And your priority is to sign Leo Carlson. 100%. That's your priority. And then you're going to go out and sign Cutter Gauthier. And let's not forget, Cutter Gauthier is the poster boy of Wham Wham Boo Hoo. I don't want to play here. I want somewhere else.
True.
We already know he's a tough cookie to deal with. He's a perennial, like, this kid's going to get 40 goals every year. Like, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like him as a player. He's going to get $8 to $10 million a year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And honestly, these really young guys getting into the first contracts, these won't be bridge deals either.
No.
We might, again, player empowerment era is on us right now. We might see that deal be $12 million for Cutter.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you make a good point with Anna.
And he's offer sheet eligible, people. Oh, ineligible, sorry. Leo Carlson can get an offer sheet. My apologies.
I don't think the Bruins could shoot, give up four first-round picks for... I mean, I would, actually.
I would, Leo, yes. Carlson, Leo Carlson, yes, I would go all in. I wouldn't even play.
It's the... who was it? Carolina said this? Like, you just did our job for you? Or did our job for us? Like,
cool.
If you get him to sign a deal, He's just going to go back to Anaheim. And
so that's why Anaheim's on my list.
Yeah,
I understand there's a path, but it's a messy, messy path because you are going to disrupt that dressing room with that path.
My next pick, I genuinely don't know if there's a path, which is crazy to say. New Jersey. What the hell are they doing? So after so much talk about a Dougie Hamilton trade that never happens, right? A Nemec trade that now might happen, but the more it's talked about, it feels like the less value the guy has because everyone's just pointing out his flaws all the time now. You can't stay healthy. Your coach kind of sucks, which we knew anyway from his previous stop. This team's, at its core, you sit there and go, this team should be good. This team should be great. And for 3 years running, they can't stay healthy. What are they going to do? Because the Metro's not like some juggernaut. Philly and Pittsburgh made the playoffs this year. This is not a great division. And New Jersey can't stay in the picture with it. I genuinely don't know. I don't trust their ownership. I don't trust their front office. They're going to go out and do something ill-advised, whether that's moving off of young talent for way less than they should because no one's forcing them to do it, or taking huge swings on guys that, I mean, it's just going to disrupt, honestly, a pretty disruptive locker room anyway. I don't like New Jersey. I think that they feel the panic button is hovering, and this summer they're going to try to take a huge swing that is ill-advised.
I agree with you on your pick. They weren't on my list, but now when I look at them, like Jack Hughes has the best contract in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like their stupid move is going to trade Nico Hischier, and I can't wait for it.
Talk about the stir, the straw that stirs the drink, right?
Like I can't wait. Like he's 1 year away from UFA, right? Because they're like the captain of the – they made it so obvious they wanted Quinn Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't re-signed with Minnesota. He wants to, but like he hasn't. But they are run by two, they a whole other, like, because you know what? I'm going to use the example because where they are located, they're in New Jersey. They are run by the Hughes Mafia.
Yes.
And it's sad because I'm going to say this and people might not agree with me. Luke Hughes is not that good.
He is not.
Not for yet. $9 million a year. That is crazy.
It's crazy. And you sent a message to all of your players that we are not serious about winning. When you gave that contract, you said, we are not focused on the right things. And any veteran player on that team, and the other players will get there too, the realization will happen. What are we doing here? If we're not trying to win, if we're not doing this the right way, why am I here? It's not a good vibe. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, like I wonder with Nico Hischier, like he's 1 year away from UFA. Because I know the new NHL teams are going to these guys and saying, are you wanting to re-sign? And we'll know after July 1. We'll also know at the draft. We start hearing, because we are hearing Nico Hischier's name surrounding the Montreal Canadiens a little tiny bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love him in Montreal. I don't know what it is, as much as I'm not a Habs fan. Hischier in Montreal would just be hilarious because I think he would just be a god there.
He'd be dominant. And you put him on a line and you're like, whoever's playing against him is stuffed out.
Yeah.
That's how good. He's the closest thing to like the Barkov and the Bergeron in the league right now.
Agreed. So I, you know what? Good pick. They're a,
thank you.
They, to quote, they're trash. All right. They're trash.
Velvet.
They are their state rolled up into one.
Just let me pour my own gas. It's not that big of a deal. Anyway, go. Who's your next pick?
My next pick, and then this is going to be, you're going to find it an interesting one. And it's not that, I don't want to call it panic, but I think they are a tiny panic to bring in a star, and they're going to do whatever they can to bring in a big player, and that's the Utah Mammoth.
Oh, I thought you were going Columbus here. Okay.
No, I respect what Columbus does. Signing Coyle to that deal, I can't put him on my list. Once they did that deal, I was like, you know what? They just want to be good enough to possibly make the playoffs and keep their fan base. They're cool. Columbus is just like, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. But the Utah Mammoth have an owner that has made it publicly clear that he wants a superstar. And if Austin Matthews becomes available from the Toronto Maple Leafs, he will give everything he has to have that man.
Mm,
and that includes like your Logan Cooleys. And like, if you look at that team, the Utah Mammoth have a ton of capital to move if they want.
I mean, especially on the back end. You have Jersey, Uyghur, and Marino on your right side.
They got Sergachev for nothing out of Tampa, which is still the weirdest trade to me. Because he's just such a good player. Like, I just never understood it. But yeah, they've got a very good team. And they're just going to get better, but they don't have a superstar. They got Logan Cooley making $10 million a year. And they got Clayton Keller, who it's their captain. They always say he's their best player, but he's that guy where I'm just like, it's like you watch the game and you watch the season. You're like, yeah, he got 88 points. Interesting. Didn't even know. You know what I mean? He's also besties with Austin Matthews. I don't know. They just seem like the team that is willing to, with all these guys from Team USA, conveniently, these are just facts, going out and saying, I want to go where I want to go. I'm LeBron James. The Utah Mammoth, they're like, what's up? You want to come here?
Which is a bummer.
If they do that, they're going to blow it up, right?
Yeah, because I think, and I think you'd agree with this, is they largely are going to be fine if they stick the course.
But they're not.
I think Cooley's going to become a really great player. He's already a very, very, very good player.
Agreed.
And they have a lot of pieces there. And yeah, I could see if they really blow it up to bring in a star player, that's going to be very disruptive to what looks like a clear path to being a strong contender for a while.
I just think after they made the Peterka deal, they're that team. They're the new Vegas. Whatever. I'll trade whoever I got to trade. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want a superstar. Yeah. I want the best player available. I think that's what Utah is going to be. They got the new facility. You can check out their YouTube page. It's phenomenal. It just makes you want to go watch a hockey game there.
Oh, I've got to do that then.
They're the opposite of the Seattle Kraken.
Just the worst. The fact that Seattle's not on this list, but it's just genuinely just because, like,
we haven't finished the list yet.
It's fair. Well, I guess we might talk about them. We'll see. Seattle's not my next pick.
That's fine.
My next pick is Detroit.
For obvious reasons now.
We had to get there. I bounced over, you know, to their Puckpedia with the recent news. Just checking out what they've got. You know, they've spent 10 years in the wilderness. They're building up their stock. They have that next wave coming. They've been saying for 3 or 4 years now. Then you look at their franchise pillars. They have Lucas Raymond.
Very good player.
Superstar trajectory. Could be, by the time he's 26-ish, just an absolute elite scorer. Agreed. They have Moritz Seider, who will be in the Norris conversation for...
I would say the most underrated defenseman in the league.
Yeah, he'll be in the conversation for the next decade.
Best defenseman of his two-way game since Nicholas Lindstrom?
Wow.
I really think Seider is so much better than people think.
I think he's great. That's praise.
Right, I would say this, and some of the praise came after Connor McDavid, like, waxed him poetic.
Mm-hmm.
Moritz Seider plays on any of the big plays, even on the Boston Bruins. He is in the Norris conversation every year.
Yes.
Every year.
Yes.
But he plays on a really bad Red Wings team that can't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
He is that good.
So, not counting Larkin.
Sorry. Because I would say Victor Hedman's probably the best shutdown defenseman since Lindstrom and Chara. He's up there. I'd say Seider's in that category.
In his prime, for sure.
Yeah.
And Seider, Seider will, the fact that he's going to be a top 5 or 6 defenseman in the league every year.
Every year.
It's just, they have a pillar there.
He's what everybody says Jacob Slavin is. I love Jacob Slavin. He's an extremely good defensive defenseman, but Moritz Seider is all of it.
Yeah.
He's that, and he's everything else. Yeah, he's really good.
Tough playoffs for Slavin so far. He's not healthy.
Obviously. Still love him.
You've got Raymond. You've got Seider. Not counting Larkin for obvious reasons. Who's the third best player?
You're a dick.
I mean, truly, I'm sitting there like, Brinkett. Let's look at what they've built. What did they build? What have they built? And yeah, they're close to the playoffs every year and collapse in March, but this team making the first round, great. That's not the goal. You've been this bad for this long in... I've had terrible draft luck, obviously. You never move up in the draft in the first round, which is just lottery, just boning you every year. But who do they have that I'm supposed to be excited about? I mean, Finney is 20 years old and has had moments. Casper is 22. He's had moments. Cool. Bernard Docker has had interesting moments. I don't know, man. Edvinson looks like he could be something. But when you talk about franchise pillars, you don't have the guy in net, even though Kosa is supposed to be that next guy. But where is he at this point?
Supposedly getting traded, right?
Right. And there's not enough elsewhere other than some of these aging guys. Like DeBrincat's not young. Patrick Kane, obviously, if he's back. I just, there's not enough there.
Well, DeBrincat's a UFA at the end of this season coming up. Kopp is a UFA at the end of the season. Now, my question to you is then, and I know people are probably going to the comments and be like, you're not the host, don't ask questions. But because that's happened the last time. Did you notice that? I asked you a question and people lost their minds. Is it Yzerman is the issue? Because that's what Dylan Larkin's saying.
If I was the owner of the Detroit Red Wings, I am more interested in firing Yzerman than I've ever been in the past. And I'm more interested in firing Yzerman than trading Larkin.
I am 100% with you.
Right? I think it can be close. I think this might be like a 60-40 kind of conversation, but I don't see the plan right now. And the trade deadline was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And the past couple free agencies have been, I mean, Bruins fans love to complain, rightfully so. We're blocking the young guys with these vets who we're bringing in. Detroit does a ton of the same stuff for Agreed. Vets that aren't very good.
Yeah, JVR, David Perrin, Patrick Kane. I'm going to say it. Patrick Kane's on that list of not very good. And it's very interesting because I think Yzerman should have been fired when he didn't get Quinn Hughes.
I'm with you on that one.
It was like done deal from what everybody thought, right?
Right.
And then he got stubborn again. And I think you're bang on. Like 100%, you have never been more right about something. You're the owner of this franchise. You stop eating your pizza. You give Dylan Larkin a call and you say, I will fire Steve Yzerman. Will you stay?
Yeah. Because you're not getting proper value back for Larkin, first of all. And he's 30. He's not 36.
Agreed.
You know? Yeah, if they're going to make that next push, I have a fear that they're going to do something crazy this offseason that might reset them, honestly. Because truly, you can't just have Raymond and Sider and be competitive. You have to have more.
Yep, you're right.
And to be this bad this long and just have nothing to show for it.
Well, that's the thing, the stubbornness. And I think you hit it bang on. Like, we could talk about the Bruins so we're blue in the face about their bad development. Detroit's right there. And they used to be the pillar of development until one Steve Yzerman came along.
It's not good.
Yeah. Not good. You're right. I think that is a very good pick that wasn't on my list, and I'm embarrassed that it wasn't.
Well, we're into our final round now. Last pick for each of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, there's still so many teams, too.
I know. But because I alluded to it, I was going to pick the Predators in the community, but just because that's the greatest t-shirt that's ever been invented. I'm going to go with the Seattle Kraken because they are a gong show organization and they shouldn't be. They have, they don't anymore, but they did have, you know, tax circumvention, or as Biz likes to call it, tax circumcision. They don't have it anymore because the state no longer gives it to them, but they had that as an opportunity. They didn't do anything with it. They have continued to just make the wrong moves. The extremely bad development of Shane Wright, and now they're like, we're going to trade him, but if we do trade him, we need like a 1C back for him, even though we don't play him as one, which is like, have you heard all this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything that's coming out of there is telling me that they should be firing their GM. And they should just reset the whole thing because they shouldn't be this bad. They shouldn't be this bad.
Not at this point. And the added pressure of Vegas succeeding all over the place, right? Yep. Vegas looks great, and you can question their ethics all you want, but on the ice, the third finals in 9 years. So you're looking at another expansion team that is quite literally and maybe the worst run franchise in the league.
Your biggest additions other on the back end, because I don't mind the Vince Dunn and the Montour, I don't mind that for them.
Sure.
I don't. Yeah. It's not amazing, but I don't mind it. But you're Chandler Stephenson throwing $6.2 million at him and you being the number one contender to get Kaapo Kakko, this is just not good. Like, it's not good.
It's not good.
And Matty Beniers just hasn't turned into the guy you thought he would.
I don't know how they ruined Beniers. I don't think
agreed.
It's
I don't know how they did. They ruined him.
They ruined him. And the Chandler Stephenson deal is one of the most egregious things I had ever seen at the moment of signing. Like that I know it's only 6.2, but my goodness, that guy was awful his final year and a half in Vegas. And then they're like, yep, this is our guy, long-term commitment. He's our new 1C. It's the Elias Lindholm deal. Damn it.
Agree. Yeah. He's a bottom six forward, right?
Yes, he is.
And so I look at Seattle and I think they're, you know, I know we made a joke about them earlier, but they're perfect to be on this list.
They are
perfect to be on this list. Vancouver Canucks are too easy. That's just not fair because they're an embarrassment. Even though we put Toronto on there, another embarrassment. But I think Seattle has to be on this list because they still have all the same management of when they entered the league, and they all got to go.
And they see, with at least Vancouver, you're like, I know what Vancouver's doing now. They're losing. They're losing intentionally, and they know it, and that's fine. Seattle doesn't know what they're doing. They have 4 first-round picks next two drafts, I should say. They don't know what they're doing with them.
Well, look at Seattle brought on the guy that the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes was like, you got to go, dude. You might have been a pillar of this franchise, but you got to go because you are not doing a good job. We are going to hire the guy that's the reporter asking you questions, and he's going to be a fan favorite. And what, the most liked GM in the NHL, Tulsky? Like, seriously, the guy goes out, man of the people, everybody loves him. And you have Ron Francis, who is, you know, one of the best two-way forwards of all time, who really sucks at his job.
And the thing is, we knew that.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced Ron Francis, myself, along with this wasn't a great take by Loqual. This was everyone agreed, that's an awful idea. What are you doing? And here we are, a few years later, going, yeah, obviously, this was the result. Obviously. Yeah.
It makes no sense. So they have to be on there because they could be so much better, but they're not.
Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, boy. I'm really stuck between two teams here for the final pick. Really, really stuck. It would be easy to do the whole, like, well, Crosby is retiring soon, Ovi retires. What are they going to do?
Those are too easy. And for some reason, those are the teams that are like the little engine that could. They just embarrass you if you pick them anyways.
I think this is really tough. I am going to go with Ottawa.
That's a very good pick. For obvious reasons, you have one of the Team USA players on it.
There you go. Brady Tkachuk with the worst playoff performance of a player of his caliber in a long time. Just an awful, awful performance. There's a ton of locker room drama that's leaking out left and right. Everyone seems to be bickering with each other. No one knows what the plan moving forward is. The biggest thing to me and why Ottawa is a team to watch of why they might do something drastic. Every single team in the Atlantic next year thinks they should be in the playoffs. All 8 of them think
they
should
be in the
playoffs, which is nuts. But every fan base can sit there and reasonably say, we could make the playoffs because of. It wouldn't be insane for any team to be in the playoffs from the Atlantic next year. Ottawa sees this. They know it's a competitive division. Their captain potentially might want out. They have a few dramatic players on their team. They're not in a great situation anywhere. Like Jake Sanderson, I love him. But other than that, I don't have a ton of faith in this team. Tim Stützle, great diving son of a bitch, but great player.
He's very good.
He's very good. They don't have enough. And unless Ullmark is going to turn the clock back a little bit and get back to being stellar, because he has one of the best shot suppression teams in front of him in the league last year. They were so good about controlling the puck and preventing scoring chances against Ullmark. And Ullmark was still just couldn't hit his stride.
It's because supposedly the room was bad, right?
Like, yeah.
He has no support.
Too many questions about what direction this team is moving. And it feels like half the boat is rowing forward and half the boat's rowing backwards.
I will say this. I 1,000% agree with your take. And especially because the captain of the team is Captain Chaos himself. Like, he's the Tkachuk family. It's just like that whole podcast thing. Like, I don't care what he says. He's an idiot. Shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have laughed about it. We all know what they meant. Jesus. Like, it's just so stupid. I agree with you on Stutzla. He's up there with Brad Marchand where he's in the king piece of shit, but you love him and you want him on your team.
Yeah.
Oops, I swore. That's very rare for me. So it's like
on this channel, it's totally fine.
But I agree with you on Ottawa. I think that's a very good pick. I really like Jake Sanderson as well. I think he's an extremely underrated defenseman.
Yeah.
I even like Shane Pinto Parlay. I think he is a very good middle six forward that can help you out on a good team. He's not gonna be a superstar, but he does his job.
Yeah.
Dare I say they should trade Brady Tkachuk. And Bruins fans, please do not say to Boston, you want nothing to do with the Tkachuk brothers as much as you think you want them. You don't want them. We don't need that. The Boston Bruins are not a team of sideshows. They cannot, like, Pasternak is just, he's at the threshold of being too much for the Boston Bruins organization, but he's just not there. Like, Marchand was too much, and they were like, hey, we're finally just going to move you. We can't have this.
It's like, too much, and we're not winning. Like, you got to go.
People don't know how close Marchand was being traded in 2015 at the draft. It was very close. It was either him or Lucic, and they chose Lucic. It's just, it is what it is. But, like, I think your captain has made it clear he doesn't want to be there, and you need to move on from him and make Jake Sanderson the captain or talk to the leadership group and ask them. But Brady Tkachuk's walk back wasn't good enough for me. And I agree with you. Do you think his walk back was good?
There was no walk back that would have worked anyway. I don't care if it's your dad. I don't, like, first of all, you're a grown man. If my dad said something to me that I disagree with, guess who's telling my dad off? Like, I don't give a shit. There's a level of respect, sure, but what are we doing here? You're a grown man. This is a team that's supposed to be working together, and you're going to giggle along with these stupid statements? By the way, your dad, I don't think, ever played a full season.
No.
Injuries exist. They're real things.
We still talk about Walt Tkachuk because his kids are good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about him. He's not a Hockey Hall of Famer. It's just not a thing. I'm sorry. I grew up watching him. He was good. His kids are better. And I just think because of the Tkachuks and what the aura they bring, Brady Tkachuk gets more in a return than Dylan Larkin does. Because a team is going to overpay because of what they saw Matthews bring. Because, yes, in the playoffs, Matthew Tkachuk brings it. But at some point, and it's already happened, his body is broken down. Matthew Tkachuk is a shell of himself. And it's unfortunate. Just people that play that way, that's just what happens. And unfortunately, with Brady, it's going to happen with him too. And, you know, he needs to go to the center for people that can't read good. And he needs to go. And Ottawa would be better for it if they trade him.
Favorite hockey meme right now is just the Tkachuk scare.
Honestly, think about it. He is like literally every hockey meme. He is Chunk from the Goonies. He is in Zoolander. And the best is when he tries to, like, say, no, I can. And then, like, did you see that one where they were trying to do quick math and they were just so bad at it?
Well, all right. So
they're good at hockey. Yeah. They're very good at hockey, though. Okay? Yes, they're just idiots.
To recap,
everybody hates me right now.
Fans of other teams hate you. That's fine.
Okay.
To recap the draft, you went Edmonton, Colorado, New York Rangers, Anaheim Ducks, the Utah Mammoth, and the Seattle Kraken. Very west. I have Toronto, Winnipeg, Florida, New Jersey, Detroit, and Ottawa. Much, much more
east coast. You're taking that whole east coast. Yeah. Can we have honorable mentions that we both agree that either the Golden Knights or the Canes will be on this list? Just it depends on who loses in the finals.
Yes. Yep. 100%. They would have been my next pick. One of those, the loser of that, followed by Boston.
Yeah. I also had honorable mention the St. Louis Blues.
Because just the chaos factor, right?
100%. I love every minute of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me for this. This was a fun little exercise.
This was exercise is the word we're going to call it.
Yes. I'm sweating. And Velma's banging.
I wore a white t-shirt, so I made sure because of the hot lights. I don't know if people notice. I'm always wearing a white t-shirt in my videos because it's easier with the lights.
I've never noticed, but that makes sense.
Because I'm always sweating.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like that too. Well, Court, do you have anything you want to plug? Obviously, links will be below for your channel.
Honestly, everybody watch more Low Qualities Bruins fans. And, tell Ian every time you see him, go Bees. Also, hey, for Low Quality fans, hop into the Short Shift Podcast Discord. They are organizing a meet and greet so you can tell a certain someone who has very bad takes to his face that he has very bad takes. I am not mentioning names because I don't want to harass that individual that I am friends with. I will admit this, but I want you to go to his face and tell him he has bad taste.
I like how you have to admit I am friends with him. I'll admit.
But see, yeah, that's what I'm plugging. Also, go check out Bruins Diehards.
Yeah, do Bruins Diehards on YouTube. And buddy, you should try to find a way to come to Dev Camp. I know you won't be able to, but you should try.
I am. Well, I'm going to be in Boston in October.
Good enough. I'll see. I'll, no, I don't
end
know.
End of October. I know. I know. Well, it's funny. I didn't tell you on my vacation. I met people from North Carolina, and those were my friends the whole time I was on vacation. Awesome. That's a huge Cades fan. Great guy. I had a great time talking to them. He was like the only hockey fan in the whole place, and I found him.
Perfect. Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we're going to have more content together.
I appreciate it.
There'll be plenty of stuff on both channels through the rest of the off season.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, go Bees.
Go Bees! Yes, go Bees! Thank you, Court.